So we're on the section that we have to consider this morning, this afternoon, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. And so I'll read them together, following on, obviously, what John was speaking about last week on the resurrection, continuing on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. So, verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. May God bless the reading of his word together. So just as a way of introduction, a little background, the question that I thought to consider to help us consider this passage this morning is a question for myself, really, I can apply for us all, is do I believe in the resurrection? And that seems like a very simple question with a very simple answer. But that's what we're going to consider this morning and think about not just the answer to that question, but the implications of that. As way of background, just to consider what we're going to be considering this morning so we all know what it is that we're talking about. The resurrection that we're considering this morning, it's a part of the glorious gospel that we believe. And it's a most wonderful thing. And I'm sure most of us are familiar with it already, but just to be clear, it's not just speaking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we thought about that this morning, even with Wilmer, with our first reading this morning, about how that he rose from the dead, and of course, that's what this passage is teaching, that is fundamental and vital to the gospel. But also, there is another part, which probably a lot of people or nominal Christians in the world maybe don't even necessarily understand, that there is a physical resurrection of believers. That we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will one day be raised from the dead. And that's what he's speaking about as the resurrection of the dead. And that is what we believe, that one day we will be brought back to life. That if we die, and there are many believers in Christ who have died, that all of them will be raised. And that they will be raised to an eternal life, a life in which they will never die again, in the same way in that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen. And that is an extraordinary concept. It's quite unusual. It's quite unlike anything else, I suppose, if we think about that. But that is a glorious part of the gospel that we believe and that we hold to. But in this passage that we're considering this morning, the Corinthians had a little bit of a difference of opinion on this. And we don't know exactly what it was that they were teaching or what it was that they thought. But you can tell from sort of verses 12 onwards that there were many there who were teaching that there was no resurrection of the dead. They seemed to still be preaching that Christ rose from the dead, and that seemed to be something which they still believed and they still taught as part of the gospel, but they didn't think that we would rise, but that once you died, that was it. It seemed to be that's what it was they were teaching, that Christianity was good for this life and it helped, but then once you died, that was it, and there was no resurrection. And so this is what Paul is addressing in this passage this morning. So he has an argument for them just to correct this, really, in their teaching. And just as another point on this, one thing I thought about when thinking about this as well, is that what we believe, I suppose, is quite different to what a lot of people out there will believe. We live in a nominally Christian society in which a lot of people believe. There's, of course, great difference of opinion out there. There's a lot of people who don't believe in God at all. And then there are people out there who do believe in God in some sense, and they believe in heaven and hell maybe, but they maybe don't go as far as believing this, but maybe they don't even understand this as a concept that we believe that there is a resurrection, that there is a day in which everyone will be raised again. And then actually, there are many people out there, it's a very common conception for people out there, that there is nothing after this life. Even so, some people do believe in God or believe in something out there. It is very common for people to believe that you live and you enjoy life as best you can and then you die and that's it. And hope that you had a good one because once it's over, it's too late. But that is not what we believe. And that is not what Christianity teaches at all. We believe that there is an eternal life. that there is a life that will go on forever. And what we do now has an impact upon that. So Paul's argument here in these verses, it can be summarized into two main points, really. Firstly, it's pretty simple and straightforward argument, I think. Firstly, he links the resurrection of the dead, as I've talked to, with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Corinthians were kind of separating it and saying they believed one but didn't really believe the other. But Paul was saying you can't have one without the other. They're the same thing. It's one is just, and we're going to get to that in later on through this chapter, but the resurrection of Christ from the dead is really the first fruits. It's the beginning of what is going to happen to us. It's an exact same concept. It's in the exact same way. And so that's what he gets to in verses 13 and 14. That if we are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead, well then Christ hasn't been raised from the dead either. So you can't have one without the other. The two must be consistent with each other. And you have to be consistent in your beliefs and in your thoughts. And that's true as well. Very often, even with the Corinthians, it's quite obvious here. It can be true for us as well that sometimes our beliefs can be inconsistent. We can believe one thing and then believe another thing, but the two don't really make sense together. And it's important just to have some logic in thinking through the implications of all that we believe. And we can think of that with all sorts of things that people believe. But we'll not take time to think about that now. So that's the first part of his teaching, really, is that he puts these two things together, the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the saints, and says that they must be, if one happens, then the other must happen as well. But then secondly, and probably more importantly, this really is the key part of his teaching here. He underlines, even as John was teaching us last week, just how essential the resurrection is. Now, this isn't a doctrine that you can have a little bit of a difference of opinion on. This isn't something that you can say, well, some people believe it and some people don't. But this really is absolutely fundamental to the gospel. If you don't understand this, if you don't accept the resurrection, then you don't really accept the gospel at all. It's key to everything that we believe. And he goes through a lot of points to teaching why it is so key and why it is so important. He says in verse 14 that if Christ is not raised, then your preaching and your faith are futile. All that we're doing here, preaching the gospel, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's futile, it's wasted. It doesn't mean anything if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead. He says in verse 15 that then the apostles have found to be liars. They have preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, but they've lied about God and about what he has done in the resurrection. And so we can't trust them either. And in verse 17, you're still in your sins. That's the most fundamental part of the gospel, isn't it? That the Christ has come to die for our sins and to save us from our sins. But Paul says if Christ isn't raised from the dead, if there is no resurrection, then all of that was useless. You're still in your sins. It hasn't done you any good. And in verse 18, there is no hope for anyone that has died. For those believers, and there have been many believers back in those days, there would have been quite a few believers who had died for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ by now, 2,000 years later. There have been how many countless generations of Christians who have died believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't believe in a resurrection, if we don't believe in eternal life, then those people are gone. Their life is finished, and all their belief and all their faith hasn't done them any good. Because, as he says in verse 17, or verse 18, I think it is, sorry, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They have died. They're finished with. And so he concludes it in verse 19. He says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And I thought there's a good example of this that I heard. I'm stealing this, it's blatant plagiarism, from Don Carson, if you've ever listened to him. But he tells a great story of this. I don't quite remember the facts exactly, but it should be close enough. There was an interview that happened one time with an Australian, I can't remember what he was an archbishop or some high up figure in a church, I can't remember which one. And he was they were holding an interview, and the interviewer, the reporter, was trying to ask him a little bit of a difficult question, just to see, trying to be a little bit awkward, I suppose. And he asked him, just suppose for a moment that the resurrection didn't happen. Suppose for a moment that I could prove to you that there was no resurrection. And the man, I think he maybe disagreed at first and says, oh no, there, you know, I do believe there was a resurrection. Of course I do, it's in part of the gospel. But the man said, no, hold on a second, no, just for a moment, just assume that I can give you some undeniable fact that proves that there was no resurrection. What would that mean to you? What would you do? The man thought about it for a second, and he thought about what he would say, and he said, well, really it would make no difference. Because to me, Christ has risen in my heart. Now, I can understand what the guy meant. We can all understand that he was trying to be positive and to show just how much faith that he had. But really, from what we're reading in 1 Corinthians 15:12, it was complete nonsense, what the man answered. And I suppose we have to think about ourselves. How would we answer that question? I'm not sure I would have got it right. But when you read through what Paul is saying here, there's no qualms about it. There's no difference of opinion. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, if somehow you could prove that as an undeniable fact, then all of this is useless. Everything we're doing here, meeting with each other, singing hymns, praying to God, reading the scriptures, all of that, you might as well just go home. Because the resurrection is so vital to the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that I don't think it happened, but what I'm saying is that it has to have happened. This is so fundamentally important. We can't deny this. If it didn't happen, then it undermines absolutely everything that we believe. There is no eternal life. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. And just on another point beside that, this is something which is very relevant for us today in the world in which we live in, because in the world that we live in, religion is consigned to it's called faith. Isn't that what they call it? That everyone can have different faiths. And as long as you really believe what you believe, then that's okay for you. And someone else can believe something totally different, but that's okay because we can all live together because we all believe what we believe really well. And that's what really matters. But Paul says that's not what matters. What matters is whether it's true or not. In this postmodern world, everyone tries to tell you can believe whatever you want as long as you believe it well enough. But Paul says, no, you've got to believe the truth. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, if there is nothing in this, then leave it behind. Forget about it. This is, you're as he says in verse 19, if Christ is only good to you in this world, that's what people say about religion. That's how the scientists and the atheists sometimes try and play it down and say, I think it was the communist leader called religion the opium of the masses. That it was something just to make people feel better, to get you through life, to get you through every day. And as long as it made you felt good, well, that was all that mattered. As long as it sort of kept you happy, it didn't really matter whether it was true or not. But that's not true. In verse 19, Paul says that if the only reason we trust in Christ is for this life, just to make us feel a bit better and to get through life a little bit better, then we're of all people most to be pitied. Or I think the King James says we're of all people most miserable, is it? It's that idea of pitiable or miserable. The idea that our life is just sad. It's everything that we're doing, all this effort that we're putting in is just wasted. And in fact, he's going to go on to in later on in this chapter about how much Paul has went through in his own life, the sufferings that he has endured, what he has put himself through, the gospel, all of that would have been wasted. It would have been for nothing if Christ wasn't risen from the dead. But the truth of the gospel and the truth of the resurrection is that we do believe in the resurrection. And we as Christians, as we've already been hearing about, I think from what Mike was sharing earlier, the life that we enjoy now isn't just a life in this world. We're not, sometimes we can think about it that we, you know, right now we're alive, but then in the future we'll be in heaven and things will be really great then. That's when we'll have everything that we're waiting for. And in some sense, that's, I suppose, kind of true. But in another sense, we are living our eternal life now. The life that we have received, the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that eternal life which will go on forever, we have that now. And the life that we now live, we're not living like the old life, the way that we did before we were Christians, but we're living an eternal life, a life that is focused on the future, a life that sees the future and the life that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means that we make different decisions and that we make different choices. Christianity is not anymore about the here and now. He's going to get to that in later on in this chapter. He talks about what some of the people in Corinth seems to be saying, and what so many people in our world today say: "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." How many times have we heard that? Have you ever heard the phrase YOLO? You use that sometimes. You only live once. And that's what so many people believe. Do what you can. Get the best you can out of life because you only live once. Well, I don't believe that. And I hope no one here believes that either. You don't only live once. You're going to live again. And so what we do now isn't just for this life, to get as much enjoyment out of it as we can, but to see the life that is to come. And to enjoy it. To get the best out of that life. And so just finally then, the question that I asked at the start, I asked, do I believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the resurrection? And we know the answer in our head. Of course we do. We're not Christians if we don't. But then there's another question for our heart. There's a massive gap between here and here. It doesn't seem very far. But to get something from up here down into here, into the way that you live your life. And that's the big question that I have for myself. From what I'm reading this morning. Do I live for the resurrection? Do I live for that life that is to come? Or is so much of my life, as I think it probably is, about what's down here? About what I can see, what I can enjoy, just living as if I'm going to die and everything will be gone. And so often we do live with that kind of thinking, the same way as the unbelievers do. As Christians, there's always that risk that we won't even fully live out the things that we say that we believe. Because the resurrection is an amazing thing. And if we sat and we really understood that, understood the eternal life that has been promised to us, that we will live forever with Christ, then it changes the whole way that we do. It shapes everything that we do. And that is, as I've said already, is what he's hinting at in verse 19. He doesn't come out and say it, but it says, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." And I repeated that verse. I think it's just such a great conclusion and summary of what he's trying to say. It gets his point across. That if we're living with the Lord Jesus Christ just for this life, just to help us, you know, to help us with our work and to help us with our families and to get out of it what we can, well, that's not what's intended. That's not living out the resurrection, believing in the resurrection. But as if we live as Paul did, ready to sacrifice ourselves, living for the gospel. And I know that I don't really think like this, like I should. I don't really live like this. I'm so easily taken up by the things of my ordinary life. But if I can understand this, and then it will help me to live for the gospel as I should. And for an understanding the resurrection. So just in conclusion then, from what I've been saying, do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, of course we believe it. But do we live it? Because if we really believed in an afterlife, then it would constrain us. It would constrain every part of our life. That's really all that I have to say this morning, this afternoon. Just close with a word of prayer. Thank you. Our Father, we come before you again this afternoon, Lord. We thank you once again for this time we have had with our brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, for being able to to think about your resurrection. And we are reminded of that this morning, just how glorious it is to see you risen from the dead and to see the life that you now have, Lord, and you have given us that life. And Lord, help us to live in that hope, to live in that understanding of the life that you have given to us, that we don't only live once. We don't only live for this world, as some of the Corinthians seem to believe, Lord, but that we have an eternal life that is promised to us, a life that is with you. And help us to learn to live for that, Lord. We thank you once more for your word. Bless it to each of our hearts, Lord, and bless each of us that are here. As we thank you once more for this time, thank you once more for your word and how you always help us in all of these things and help us to understand these things. And bless it to our hearts as we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.